This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/currentgeek and enter the promo code CURRENTGEEK.
That's pretty good. Well, in that case, it's just that you suck.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars. Oh, look at that. You guys can't see this if you're listening at home. Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world, and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. He's Tom Merritt. Go Cardinals, Tom.
Yeah, Cardinals are up 1-0, bottom of the first already. That was the Chicago Cubs.
That was quick.
Why Major League Baseball felt that they needed to have like one of the world's greatest rivalries scheduled at the same time as Current Geek, I have no idea.
Is the Cubs losing streak thing, curse or whatever, is that still a thing? Is that still... exist, or is that something I heard on like
Scott, is gravity still a thing? You know, does sunlight photons come from? Yeah, it's still a thing. Absolutely. Right. It's a fact of the world.
All right. Does Bieber still struggle with his 20s? Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fact of the world.
Does Urkel still wonder if he did that?
He must really wonder.
It's all part of there.
Joining us today, two fantastic guests, both returning. One, been here a ton, and one of my favorite people in the world, and also up very late to do this. His name is Patrick Beja. He's from FrenchSpin.com, among many other things. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Wow, all those compliments. I wasn't sure if they were meant for me and said you, until you said up very late, and then I was like, whew. Wow, it is me. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good.
You missed a podcaster today. You were on the instance with me this morning, then you did a thing with Tom, and then you did this again. You're probably sick of us by now.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I was sick of you from the beginning.
Oh, all right.
So,
okay.
It's okay. I'm soldiering.
So it hasn't increased your illness related to us. That's
no,
good.
No, it's fine.
It hasn't. It's pretty constant. It's okay. It's acceptable.
I'm really going to miss you at BlizzCon. You know, just going to miss
that's
you there.
Aw. Yeah, dude, that's way suck. To make it even like reminding me my sorrow. Although, you know, I'm choosing not
that
to.
With no Patrick and no Nicole Spag, we will have our other guest at BlizzCon.
Oh, we will. That's right. You know, may know him as the Blue Streak. I know him as Garrett Weinzierl. He is the host of many shows over at amove.tv. Fantastic programming all around and a good friend of the show and returning to the show. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Will I still be a friend of the show if I say go Cubs?
You could be. Tom, you got a call. You got the gavel. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that, Garrett.
he was asking. You know, he didn't say it. He was
first
asking.
Of all, not from Chicago. Second of all, doesn't like sports balls.
Yeah.
I get invested when it gets towards the end, when an incredibly slow game like baseball becomes interesting.
Yeah. He makes a good point. All those 118 games before that, though, that's a little kind of a raw dog moment.
Why Cubs?
Because I'm getting married to a prior Chicago denizen.
Oh, all right.
Is she could have picked White Sox.
Is she a native?
Could have married White Sox. That's all I'm saying.
She was born in Illinois.
Illinois, all right.
Well, so was I.
Well, then you picked the wrong team, sir.
Tom's back in the wrong
team. Are we still talking about baseball?
Yes, we are.
I can't believe Garrett was the guy who like dived into the baseball talk. That's awesome.
I pay attention to the baseball when teams I care about make it to the playoffs. That's fantastic.
Before I start the headlines, Patrick, is it all? It's all soccer, aka international football, where you live, right? There's nothing else. There's no big sports. Oh, lacrosse. I'm sorry. Lacrosse.
There's no big sports. Soccer is the biggest sport.
That's Canada, eh?
Well, what are you doing over there? What's the big thing for
so
French people?
It's football, rugby, which is like the real man sport with like it's basically American football with no protections.
Yeah,
French rugby has been good over the years too.
Yeah.
Apparently, I have no idea, but I hear they have. And then, interestingly enough, there's a pretty significant following for baseball, for basketball in France as well.
Oh, all right. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Nice.
That's
well,
fantastic.
NBA, obviously.
Yeah, but, of course.
And yeah.
Don't we have a few? We have a few French players over here on our
team. Isn't there wine ball
well,
or something?
Tony Parker is. No, it's not wine ball.
Cheese ball?
Cheese ball.
Cheese ball, possibly. Tony Parker is actually, I think, half French. So obviously for us, he's full French.
Yeah.
So
how about mime ball? You guys have mime ball? No?
We have I can't find an insult with balls. Why are balls failing me?
the goalie that the goalie in Mime Ball has to play an accordion while he's doing it.
Yeah, of course. A fake one, though. Not a
and
real one.
And he's always walled in by glass inside the goal.
Oh, it's the worst sport ever.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Well, the bowl is also being mimed. So, you know, sometimes the referee has to jump in and decide which fake in existing bowl landed in the goal.
When they lose the ball.
We appreciate lacrosse. We just don't appreciate Gerard Depardieu. All right.
Why are you talking about lacrosse? We don't even know what lacrosse is.
It sounds French.
Isn't it a French thing? Is it Canadian? Is it French Canadian?
The word la. That's it.
I just assumed it was a French thing. I never knew. It's huge here.
It is not French at all. It's, from now on, let's just call it the cross.
The cross.
To just, you know, get any confusion out of the way.
All right, fine.
This is without a doubt the most fun I've had on an intro of Current Geek.
Oh, without a question. We're having a great time already, and we're going to have more fun because now it's time for these.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
All right, Coach, what's the stories today?
And we got great stories. We've got we got science stories. We have video game stories. We have labor law stories. Whoa. But we start with soda water stories. Captain Kipper says the news that Pepsi will release 6,500 bottles of Pepsi Perfect. That's the beverage seen in Back to the Future 2. It will appear on October 21st, 2015, the date to which Marty and Doc Brown traveled forward in time. And the perfect bottles will cost you $20.15 each. Unless you happen to be one of 1,500 people dressed up as Marty McFly as a cosplayer at New York Comic Con this week, in which case they might give you one for free.
Yeah, and that ends Sunday, so you better hurry up and get your Marty McFly on. Go ahead, Garrett.
I take issue with this in terms of Back to the Future fandom.
Okay, give it to us straight, because my biggest problem is price. I don't have a problem with the cashing in on the design or any of that. That's fine. We're the year of the whole going to the future thing. I get it. But $20.50 each? I mean, dude, who's doing that? I know they're going to be collector's things. No one's going to drink these. But tell me your problem. Dig it up.
It's the giving it to people who dress up as Marty McFly. He didn't even order the darn thing in Back to the Future 2. It was his son. So you should dress up like Marty McFly's son to get a free one.
Seriously, right? And then you should get a case.
He goes in with that bad Michael J. Fox squeaky voice and goes, Pepsi Perfect.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Garrett's motion is carried.
I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb and assume that Patrick is not a fan of the Back to the Future series. Am I wrong or am I right?
You are, well, so you're half right and half wrong.
Okay.
I am a fan of the Back to the Future series because, hello, Back to the Future.
Okay.
However, I am already getting a little bit fatigued by all of the, ooh, it's October 21st, 2015, and it's the date that... I'm like, right, we know. You've been saying this for like 5 years. You've been saying, do you know what it's going to be in 5 years? It's going to be October 21st. I'm like, all right, fine. Yeah. Just whatever, you know, with the funny hoverboards and the ridiculous caps and the... We get it. It was the date that they said in the movie.
Yeah.
Enough already.
If anything, we should be complaining because I should have gone further out because now we're here and none of that cool stuff is here. All we have is Huey.
Well, some of the cool stuff.
Like what?
And some of the cooler stuff.
Name it.
I would argue that we have cooler stuff. Other, you know, a few minor exceptions. Obviously, flying cars would be pretty great, but I don't know.
Well, flying cars and Mr. Fusion. That would be pretty cool if we had cold fusion reactors that were the size of a blender, that would change the world a little bit. So
also, Miami is not going to the World Series.
No, they're not. Think of that. Oh, man. See, already another one down. So you don't have your hoverboards. You don't have your cars that fly. You don't have... And now we have... What did we end up with? Weird Pepsi. That's it.
That's basically the only thing we're getting from Back to the Future 2.
Just a cash in from some giant faceless corporate thing. It kind of sucks, to be honest.
Do you really want Jaws 19?
No,
Scott.
No, I don't.
Is that something you really need in your life?
Actually, now hold on a minute. Let me think about that for a second. I wouldn't mind if Jaws came back. If it came back in, you almost can't though now.
Well,
okay, never mind.
What you want to say is, I wouldn't mind if it came back and it was good.
Yeah.
The problem is that second part wouldn't happen.
Yeah, the good part is very much wishful thinking. So, yeah, I guess not. I don't want Jaws 19.
All right, let's move into our labor news portion of the show. Duncan McIver sent us the news that 96% of U.S. voice actors in the SAG-AFTRA union voted to authorize a strike. Guild actors want royalties for video games, stunt coordinators for motion capture shoots, and stunt pay for, quote, vocally stressful recording sessions. Union wants more talks to try and resolve the dispute without striking, but they now have the authorization to strike if those talks either don't happen or don't work out.
So I have a couple of good close friends in this business, one of which I talk about on the show all the time, Liam O'Brien, busy guy, does a lot of stuff, and he describes his... Here's the thing. If you have played a video game in the last 10 years, 99% chance you have played something with Liam's voice in it. So very busy guy, always getting this work and doing lots of things. When this original agreement was made for how they were compensated or how they were treated or what their kind of job conditions were like, it was in 1995. Could not have been a more different time in video game development and what we needed from voice actors, how much of that was needed and what it took. There was very little in the way of mocap back then. They weren't actually acting out their scenes and doing vocal work while acting out those scenes. But today, they do that every day. And there's hazards to that that aren't included in those early contracts. There's like all kinds of reasons to want to revisit this. So I just wanted to put it out there that I'm a little bit biased in their favor because I'm hearing about the underbelly of how that business works. And I think they probably should be getting a better pay, not better pay, but they should at least be able to address this royalty question, but at the very least have the work conditions better. I'm not saying they're a bunch of slave kids working in a sock shop somewhere in the Middle East. I'm just saying they're, and no offense to any kids working in a sock shop in the Middle East, by the way.
Sock shop, not sock hop.
Yeah. You know, that's been a real civil right problem with the sock shops or sock hops. But anyway, I mean, give me some feedback. Patrick, I heard you consternate there. What do you think?
So there are two aspects of this. The work conditions, I think, definitely, if they're not, you know, if they're working in inappropriate work conditions, that should be addressed, definitely. I have a problem with the royalties aspect of it, though. And we discussed this on Pixels at length with Tom here on this week's episode. But basically, the royalties come from a world of acting where for a TV show or a movie, you are actually going to go and make that purchase, quote unquote, decision to go watch the movie because of the headlining artist, you know, the actor is in the movie, so you're going to go see it. I don't think it applies to video games. For video games, it's cool if you have a good voice actor, but it's not going to make or break your purchasing decision. And for the voice actors to get some royalties off of the games before the other staff that work on that game that will work, you know, for 2, 3, 4 years on a game day in and day out, I think is it sounds unfair. So I'm not sure that I'm behind the royalties part.
Mm. Well, and I get the feeling, and I don't have any insider info on this, of course, but I get the feeling that that's the least of their demands. I think, you know, fairness is always something you want. You want to come to the table with maybe more than you're going to get, but it sounded like more what interests them more is not having their tool of making a living being stressed to the point of breaking and having certain expectations about what these sessions are like and what they're going to be expected to do. And, you know, if there's going to be hazards in mocap situations, which there are, they're doing stunt work they were never originally intended to do, then they probably ought to be treated like stunt people in some ways or at least have stunt coordinators there. So I think they have a right to organize and have a plan and do a thing, but clearly they're in favor of it. Over 96%. I mean, that's enormous. And they're everywhere. These guys are everywhere doing every game now. Even small indie games are hiring voice actors. We live in a time where that's part of your video game experience, no matter what game you're playing. And if they do strike, my curious side wants to see how it actually affects the business. Like, will we get a bunch of cheesy lines?
I think it would be interesting to have some, you know, one unified voice for them to explain exactly what they want and how much of it is royalties, which I'm not sure they're going to get a lot of sympathy for, and how much of it is work conditions, where I think they're going to get a lot of sympathy.
All right, but Garrett, if we don't get the professionals, this is what we get instead.
Barry.
Jill.
Like that, remember? Resident Evil, never forget. You don't want that again.
I've tried to forget, Scott. I've tried very hard, and I can't.
Okay. because we need that. We need the Nolan Norths of the world, and we need the who's the other guy's real popular now?
Troy Baker.
Troy Baker. I played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 with that guy right before he blew up, and I remember at the time thinking, my gosh, what a talented guy. He played the whole game in doing I can't think of his name from 30 Rock. Just got in an accident.
30 Rock?
Used to be on SNL. Tracy Morgan.
Oh,
he does this Tracy Morgan impression that would just knock you out.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, man, these guys and their talent. So I'm pulling for those guys.
I feel like the royalty thing, like I don't think it should be a base thing, and like they're like, if you do any voice acting for a video game, you should get royalties. But I think maybe it should at least be considered on a project to project basis. I mean, you know, mentioning Troy Baker, The Last of Us is a good example where he did a ton of motion capture work for that, and mm-hmm. as did, you know, a lot of the other cast for that, and it was a very cinematic game.
Yeah, and his likeness is in the last Call of Duty game. He's right. The main character. His likeness is in the new Kojima game, the Metal Gear Solid 5. He's Revolver Ocelot in that, and his face is undeniably his. Oh, it's totally him.
But the thing is, those aren't, I mean, you're not gonna not buy Metal Gear Solid 5 because it's not Troy Baker. You're not gonna go like, oh, it's Void Traker. But that game is not gonna be on my list.
That's the negotiate. I mean, let me just jump in here. I think what's going on here is a negotiation. And yeah. In a negotiation, you come and you ask for more than you think you'll get so that you have things to drop. So we don't know which parts of the negotiation are things they'll compromise on and which they aren't. But the negotiation is, we think you need us enough to grant us some of these things. And so if Patrick's right, then the industry should say, no, we don't. So go strike. We won't care because nobody buys video games because of you guys. If the video game companies are wrong, they'll suffer. And that will be a problem. But comparing it to engineers is comparing apples and oranges, because an engineer who develops a game is a full-time employee with health benefits, possibly stock options. It's going to be different for different people, but it's a different kind of employment. The voice actors are not employees. They're contract people. They're brought in temporarily, and royalties are often a way to entice people to do that kind of work that otherwise wouldn't do it. Normally the marketplace works it out and says, oh, you know what? The royalties are this good so that we can get this big name in because that'll help our sales. And right now there's a difference of opinion. The game makers are like Patrick. They're like, we really don't think you're as valuable as you think you are to the sales of these games. The voice actors are saying, well, actually we think we are as far as the royalties go. The working conditions is a separate thing. And I think probably, and I don't know this, but probably that is the bigger issue for them, which is, come on, you guys, you it's like you're paying no-name contractors. We're actors, we work in other parts of the arena, and we feel like, you know, we're not protected at work as much as we would be if we can get these kind of agreements that we have in other industries that employ us.
Right. So we don't want this is really the bottom line.
Jill!
We don't want that anymore. All right?
Barry.
And just so you know, that on that, they famously said that they were actively doing a bad job because it was fun and video games were nothing at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like that is the level of voice acting that these people are capable of. They were taking the...
That's what happens when you don't pay people royalties. They do that.
That's true. And it's also important to note that it's not like this is all they do. They do commercial work and a ton of anime and sort of animated voice work. And, you know, they're kind of all over the place. And I don't know how this affects any of that. But
I think that's why motion capture keeps coming up, too, because there is so much crossover. These guys are spending, you know, a lot of other jobs over doing cartoons. And it's not like they're having to do motion capture for cartoons. They're not rotoscoping Tom Kenny for SpongeBob.
Not yet.
And I just want to say, just one last thing, very quickly. If they did have royalties, you would have to pay Scott 2 cents every time you played that Barry thing.
So, ooh, good point. Fair use, though. Tom could argue that side, too.
Yeah, no, it makes no difference whether there's royalties paid or not, whether the copyright is enforceable. Those two things are not connected.
Take that, French man.
Uncle Smiles wants you to know that Popular Science Magazine has released all of its back issues from 1870 to 2000 online through Google Books. So if you want to read about the artificial production of stupidity in schools from June 1872, or the increasing popularity of air conditioning in small cars from July 1960, check it out. Personally, I can't wait to make more money after I learned draftsmanship from the Chicago Technical College.
Yeah, also those cigars they sell in there.
The owl cigars.
Yeah. Did you guys have a chance to look at this, Patrick? What'd you think of to me it felt like Wired for a different generation.
It's cool. I'm thinking even more about how people will look at our entire lives that are documented now. Basically we are the popular science of 200 years from now.
Isn't that exciting though? The idea that we could one day, well, we won't, but someone someday is going to have all of this weird data. It'll be unprecedented. No other time in human history has generated this many images, this much text, just this sheer amount of data generated on a daily basis on something dumb like Twitter or Facebook alone, let alone everything else.
Trained men are in big demand at good salaries by the signal department of every large railroad in the United States. Make $90 to $250 a month with our free book.
Whoa.
This is super cool because it shows us, it's a window into, you know, that past that we don't know much about. So, yeah, I think it is. Obviously, it's cool. Who's going to be the... Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, go ahead. Why not?
Okay, who's going to be the asshole who thinks this is not cool? It's like, no, I'd much rather not have these available. Yeah, obviously, it's very cool.
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. You don't tell a Frenchman he can't swear at 1 a.m.
If for no other reason, then I'm excited about this just for the 1800s covers. Are you looking at these things?
Yeah, they're pretty gorgeous. Great. Yeah. Aren't they great?
So much good stuff.
Yeah. I'm looking at the June copy from 1872, and at the very last page is a Grayflex camera ad, which is awesome, and also Star Wars Connection.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty hot. Yeah, the whole thing's great. When Tom sent me that link, I got overly excited.
Yeah, I sent him a link to the February 1920 issue. It has all these great, almost comic book-like advertisements in it. I love the one about draftsmanship because it tells you to send your application for their free test lesson to Chicago Technical College, 231 Chicago Tech Building, Chicago.
I think there aren't enough.
Is that
Chicago's
a real address? I don't think that's a real address.
It's an amazing address. I hope it is.
Back then, in the past, they didn't have many houses. So
their website,
that's right after the fire.
Their website would be chicago.chicago underscore Chicago forward slash chicago.chicago.
Hey, Star Fury Zeta.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Star Fury Zeta sent us the news that a private team from Israel has secured a launch contract with SpaceX to send a rover to the moon in 2017. The company called Space Ill, because they're ill into, no, I don't know, it's Space IL, will put its rover on a SpaceX Falcon 9 launcher as part of its bid to win the Google Lunar X Prize competition, which promises $30 million to the first private organization to land on the moon.
That's so cool. I love that we're doing this stuff now. I think that's awesome. But what will its primary job be? Just rove around and dig in the dirt?
Collect some data, take some pictures.
That's fine.
Hit a golf ball.
We're going to send a rover to Mars. Doesn't this seem a little boring by comparison?
Well,
the only guy in the audience being like, really, the moon? You guys couldn't do better?
But when have we been to the moon lately?
Yeah, I think that's what this is about.
And what this is about is, can we get private companies to be able to do this without having to have government funding?
Yeah, yeah. Which I think, you know, we try to compare everything that's happening now or in the future to movies and science fiction. But one of the things I think will come in the future is that the motivation to do these things will no longer be in the hands or the wallets of governments. Yeah. It'll be in the hands of private companies or philanthropic billionaires who really want to see cool stuff happen. And I think I'm fine with that. I think that's just fine. However we want to get up there is great. And I don't know that much would be happening if we didn't have things like the Lunar X Prize and so on.
Yeah, this
so,
is not an either-or situation. Yeah. Government, NASA, has moved on to Mars, to asteroids, to the Kuiper Belt, to probes. And what Google's saying is, hey, you know, we can go to the moon. We can do the moon stuff now. That's relatively easy.
Yeah, and $30 million is couch change for them. It's no big deal. You just pay it.
Still, though, I mean, I'm with Garrett. It's like, yes, a rover, it's definitely very cool, but you don't have to send a person, but maybe, I don't know, a dog or some gerbil or something.
That's the
just
next
make
prize.
It a little bit.
Start with the rover. You say, I mean, just the way we did, like, you know, the Soviet Union and the United States. We sent rovers to the moon first. We sent unmanned things to the moon. I guess we didn't send a rover.
Patrick, your choices are awesome. A dog or a gerbil. One of those two.
Actually, Gerbil X Prize Moon. That's pretty awesome.
Great idea.
I blame having just seen The Martian because I'm just like, no, it'd be you would make me interested if you were sending a person somewhere.
Don't spoil. I it's not hey, out for
Patrick,
another.
Patrick, a guy goes to Mars in The Martian. I just
I
want you to be aware of that.
I literally said a guy goes to Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, so when The Force Awakens come out early in France, you won't spoil, right?
Right.
Well, if no one spoils The Martian, right, I think there's a good chance I won't spoil
I'll just, I'm just going to tell you right now, it involves Mars and there's people on it. That's it. There.
It's it involves wars and The Force Awakens. Patrick says you can never have enough Destiny talk, and I think he's right. At New York Comic Con, Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman started talking about Destiny in the middle of his Walking Dead panel, saying a bunch of things, including, I've never made a video game, and if I did, it would suck. It would be Destiny with Walking Dead skins on it. Then he paused and said, that'd be a cool game.
Yeah. Also, is he saying Destiny sucks? I can't quite tell what he means by that.
Well, no, he's got like three different characters. One's 40. He's also very frustrated with the game.
Mm. Well, a lot of people are. But a lot of people are really back in love with it again, like Patrick is. Patrick, you can speak to this. So can you. You've been playing it a bunch too, Garrett. So you both of you guys.
I'm like probably 40 minutes away from 40. Mm. Like I'm almost maxed out again. I'm back in, man. The Taken King is great. Last boss fight's a little repetitive. But other than that, I'm really liking it.
Yeah. Patrick, you as well. That's all you've talked about for 2 weeks is this game.
Basically, I'm trying to make it so every podcast I show up in, I drop Destiny references here and there. I'm very much into it. And I love that Kirkman was actually in the middle of his, you know, Walking Dead panel. And he was like, you know what? Let's just talk about Destiny. He just literally interrupted his interviewer and he was like, let's just talk about Destiny. And he was saying stuff like, you know, people don't realize how cool it is and blah, blah, blah. And yeah. I just really love that game. And I will one day convince you that you should play it, Scott.
I'm playing. I'm back in. I got Taken King. I'm playing. I'm not playing. I'm not very fast. You guys are way ahead of me, but I'm playing.
You need to accept my PSN request so we can all get in there and play.
All right. I forgot that doesn't have, we don't have limits by region on that. We can play it anywhere with each other, right?
Yeah. I mean, if Kirkman, right, Walking Dead, Invincible, a million super cool things, says that Destiny is cool, I mean, I can understand if when I say it, you're like, whatever, it's the Frenchman.
Yeah.
But if the Kirkman says it, then I think you should take his
Well, the Kirkman said, I just want to make this part clear and then we'll move on to the next story. I've never made a video game, and if I did, it would suck. It would be Destiny with the Walking Dead skins on it. That's kind of him saying the game sucks, isn't it?
No, it's him saying that it would just be the best game he knows, Destiny, and his contribution would be to put Walking Dead skins on it because that's what he knows how to do.
Oh, it's like interpreting the Constitution.
No, he's saying all I could do is rip off somebody else's game and put skins on.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
That's the way I took it.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Well, good.
I'm with Patrick and Tom on this, Scott.
All right. I'll be alone in my stupid idea. I played a little devil's advocate, if I'm being honest. It's fine. I like that game. Anyway.
I see. Hey, Microsoft continued the recent trend of tech companies announcing lots of stuff in very long press conferences this week. The big surprise was something called the Surface Book. It's a 13.5-inch laptop with a 3,000 by 2,000 touchscreen running a Skylake processor, dedicated GeForce GPU with GDDR5 memory, though that is in the keyboard. The screen can actually detach from the base and then switch to Skylake's integrated graphics processor when it does. It's on sale in the U.S. for $1,499 for a 128 gig and 8 gig of RAM model. Pre-orders are already underway, shipping October 26th. Also, Microsoft announced a 12.3-inch Surface Pro 4 and a new type cover to go with that has a fingerprint sensor. That's $899 October 26th. The HoloLens Development Edition was announced. It's not coming until Q1 2016. You have to pay $3,000 for it, and you have to have your application to get it approved. So you really do have to be a developer. They also announced the Microsoft Band, their fitness tracker, for $249 October 30th. Three phones, the Lumia 950, a 5.2-inch display for $549, Lumia 950 XL, 5.7-inch display in November, and Lumia 550 in December for $139.
This is the I'd like to refer to this one as the story Tom has talked more about this week than any other story likely on DTNS. And so rather than beat it to death, I just will say this one thing. Garrett, you and I as artists, that book, that the Surface Book looks very, very interesting to me. It's expensive as hell, but I'm very piqued. My interest is piqued by that thing.
It's a sexy piece of hardware.
Yeah.
I've been wanting a Surface Pro for the longest time.
Yeah. And now they got some other tempting thing. It's just going to piss you off that you don't have it. And Tom, you won't do it unless they give you a terabyte drive. Isn't that what I heard you say or something earlier?
Yeah, it's kind of my holdback. Most you can get with the Surface Book is 512 gigabytes. And if I'm actually going to replace my MacBook Pro, which is what they're pitching with the Surface Book, I'd need a terabyte drive.
Yeah. Patrick, thoughts?
I'm not sure who the Surface Book is for. And this is not a very popular opinion, but it's basically a laptop. And you can detach the keyboard, the screen, but then it's not a very portable tablet. It doesn't become a tablet. It's got 4 hours of battery life. Satya Nadella kept referring it as a smart clipboard or something like that. He didn't refer to it as a tablet. It doesn't become a tablet. So when you're saying, Scott, this is interesting for us as artists, I'm not quite sure this is the kind of thing you want, and I'm not quite sure you wouldn't be better served by a separate device that would do what you want it to do super well rather than something that's in the middle somewhere.
Well, and
you can fold that keyboard over and get the better battery life and the better graphics processor too and still use it as a tablet as an option.
Sure. So what I'm thinking of it as is something I can open actual Photoshop in actual Windows 10, flip that thing around, and draw on that with a good stylus. All these things I need to hear some artist feedback, you know, some hands-on before I'd ever make a decision toward this. But I'm very interested in the iPad Pro for the same reasons, and I'm very interested in the new Surface Pro for the same reasons. Surface 2 was awesome that way. I loved how that felt. 3 felt weird to me and didn't seem right. Maybe this is a return to form and maybe it'd be good. I guess all I'm saying is this may not happen overnight, but I think we're inching toward a time where our big, giant $2,000 Cintiqs for people who are doing professional illustration and cartooning or whatever they're doing, they're going to start wanting to have something with a smaller footprint, a smaller price tag, and have better portability.
That's interested in that. That's going to happen.
So we'll see.
Intuos already has the Cintiq Companion, which is it's a drawing tablet, and it's amazing. And if you're going to drop $1,500 on one of these Microsoft tablets, that's encroaching on, you know, the $2,000 plus you can spend to get a Cintiq Companion, and you know it's going to be amazing because it's made by Wacom.
I like Wacom or Wacom or however they want to say it. I also think they're great. I don't think that Android device is all that great. I think it's okay. It's okay. It's also very limited in terms of it being a device you could use for tons of things, not just the one thing.
Oh, you're right. I mean, if the thing you care the most about, though, is actually drawing freehand on it, though, I think it's the best thing on the market. Yeah.
I mean, what I really wish they would do is like partner with Apple or partner with Microsoft or somebody big enough to make some kind of hybrid work together that would just be insane. And I don't see that happening. But anyway, it's going to be interesting. The next couple of years are going to be very fascinating for production level artists and what they choose to use as their digital tools. So time will tell. Good stories today. Hey, I got a little teaser. I'm going to play a teaser before we get to the pop quiz. Check this out.
What's in the box?
Oh, very soon we'll be able to answer that question. What's in the box? Tom, can't wait to find out what's in the box.
Yeah. I wrote some stuff. Scott's drawing some stuff.
Yeah.
Waiting for David to tell us we got a box to put in, basically, I guess.
There's a few things hanging out that we're trying to get worked out, but we have got some cool stuff coming. So making big progress. Soon you too will find out what's in the box, and it will not be Pepper Potts.
And when we say you too will find out, we don't just mean Bono and Edge.
No.
We mean you.
Now, they always know everything, so it's kind of an assumed thing, but we mean you at home. It's now time for the pop quiz.
America scores and wins.
All right. France 2 today. France 2. Don't want to shell you out. By the way, I'm going to find out how many appearances you made on the show compared to, say, Ibbot and a couple others, because I think you might be in second or third now. We got to see if we can rectify that. Anyway, it's the pop quiz. It's where you guys answer questions in areas of your expertise. If you get an answer correctly, if you get it wrong, Tom scores the whole thing. And by the end, we see who wins. We're going to start this time with Garrett. Garrett, are you ready for your category and your questions?
No, but I don't think that matters.
All right, good. It's going to be...
correct. One point.
You had a theory about this on Twitter. You and I are having a private conversation, and you were right. It is Blink-182 trivia.
Oh, wonderful.
A band I don't love, but this trivia says hello there to you, so we can start. All right, you ready? Okay, it's a terrible joke. Wait, were you at their BlizzCon when they played?
Yeah, okay. It was not a good performance.
Yeah, I played a lot of Heroes during that.
I did too, actually.
Yeah. In fact, Patrick got us. That's back when Patrick could pull.
Yeah, he worked his magic.
Yeah, got us in there early. Him and him and the other
Overwatch, you mean?
Yeah, No. Was it Overwatch? No. It was Heroes that time.
No, oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Right. That was Watch 2 years last, ago.
Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago. 2015. Last year was Metallica, which I did not go see and instead played a bunch of Overwatch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what I did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably what I'll be doing this year. All right. Anyway, here is your first question. Blink 182 became a band in what year?
Oh, geez.
182?
1820?
1993? Oh, man. 92. So close, man. So close. How old were you then?
In 93?
Yeah.
Seven?
That's disgusting. Tom, we should just leave.
23?
I was 23, yeah.
Sorry, I was six.
You were six. Okay, thanks for correcting that. That's great. You were the age when Jurassic Park came out, you were the age Tom and I were when Star Wars came out. Think of that for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
What Blink 182 song was featured in the PlayStation 2 game Amplitude? It's also one of the hardest songs in the game, as a hint.
Never played Amplitude. Oh, it's hard in Amplitude.
Take a wild guess if you don't know.
Guess would be out of popularity, would be All the Small Things.
You are wrong. It is The Rock Show.
Oh, okay.
The Rock Show. Next question.
And by the way, Amplitude was a much more interesting game than its sequel, Platitude.
Yeah, Platitude was terrible.
Garrett gets a half point for having to deal with Patrick's bad joke.
Patrick-tude.
Thank you, Merritt.
Merritt? Yeah, call him Merritt's fine.
You're welcome, Wines Earl.
We're like cops at the Chicago PD here. All right, what was the title of Blink-182's debut album?
Buddha.
Nope, Cheshire Cat is the correct answer.
I like the confidence of the answer, though. We're going to give a quarter point.
Okay, quarter point. What is Blink-182's best-selling album?
Enema of the State.
You are correct. That is absolutely true. What California city did Blink-182 form in? They weren't from there. Well, not all of them were, but where do they form? like little tiger robots into one giant robot.
It was at a Color Me Mine.
Oh, jeez. Anaheim.
You are in the right state, but not the right city. It is San Diego, California. In what year?
I like how Scott tried to make it feel better. The question was, what California city? You got the right state.
Yeah, good job. You're in the right hemisphere. All right, how about this one? In what year did Travis Barker get involved in a plane crash with DJ AM?
If I correct you and tell you that his name is Barker, not Baker, do I get a point?
No, I screwed up. It's written Barker. I just read it
wrong. Yes, you do, in fact, get a point.
All right, you get a point.
I do not know, so I'm going to guess 2011.
2008 is the correct answer. But still, you got a point because I screwed up Barker. Where does 182 in the Blink 182 name come from?
I don't know.
Oh, wow, that's quick. The answer is they were originally named Blink, but another band with the same name threatened legal action, so 182 was added to the name. So there you go.
There you go. And he correctly answered. He didn't know.
All right. There you have it. Which album did Blink 182 release in 2001 is your final question.
2001.
Yeah.
That would have been Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
You are correct. Nicely done. I think you did all right, man. I know you were worried about it, but you did good. I think you did good. Well, we'll see. Let's see how Patrick does with his trivia topic. Patrick, are you ready?
I was born ready.
All right. Your pop quiz involves Destiny trivia. Destiny trivia.
And by that, we mean Destiny's Child.
Yeah, Destiny's Child.
I know both topics equally.
In what previous Bungie game was Destiny first teased?
Halo 4.
You are incorrect. It is Halo 3 ODST.
I was going to say, could I answer that and get a point?
It appeared on a sign saying Destiny awaits, which showed Earth and a mysterious orb. But nice try. All right. What was the name of the first DLC pack released for Destiny?
House of Wolves.
The Dark Below is the correct answer.
Damn it!
Yeah. I knew that too.
Quarter point.
Can I take this one at bet?
No, you're too late. You already did the other one. Let's see. Next one. What energy drink did a promotion that unlocked a new quest? This should be easy.
Isn't that the U.S. only thing?
No, I think it actually has international roots, this drink. It's big here. I'll give you that. But I don't think it came.
I don't know.
I'm buzzing in Nerdtacular style.
Do it.
Red Bull.
You are correct, but he was wrong. Red Bull is the right answer.
But Patrick gets a half point for getting Garrett to answer the question correctly.
Oh, wow. Look at that. This is new. This is unprecedented. I don't even know what to think now. All right.
Some intricate rules.
Well, we're working now. Together.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll see if I can give Patrick a win. I'll feel good about something.
What moon is now a playable area in The Taken King and was previously only available for PvP? Oh, you should know this.
What? Wait. What moon?
What moon?
Oh, Phobos.
You are correct. Nicely done. What was the name?
Also accepted, not a moon, a space station.
Oh, very nice. So you wouldn't.
Yeah, because it's the Dreadnought. It's not exactly. Well, there is a little bit, a couple of missions on Phobos.
So, now you're really freaking me out with your knowledge. Okay, next one. What name was the game known as internally at Bungie before titling it Destiny?
Project Awesome.
Oh, I thought you almost had it. Project Tiger is the correct answer.
I get a half point for getting Project right.
Tigers are awesome, so close.
Kind of, yeah.
I just loved hearing you say Project Awesome as loud as you did and at 1:30 a.m. in the morning and where you live. All right,
my neighbors love me.
Yeah, of course they do. Next question. Destiny marked the last Bungie soundtrack for what former Bungie composer? This did not go well either.
Oh, the guy who got super litigious. Can I Google it?
No.
No.
Turns out that's against the rules.
You lose a tenth of a point for asking that.
It's Tim something.
You are incorrect. It's Martin. So that's sort of like Tim at the end.
Well.
O'Donnell.
Tim.
Yeah.
I should have said it's something Tim something. Then it would have made sense.
It would have made sense. Martin O'Donnell's his name.
I got points for that.
And he did get litigious, but also it seems like they treated him kind of poorly.
That's good.
But he kind of didn't want to do what they said he should do, and he fought Activision, who didn't use his music in the commercial. And
this one lawyer, who's I guess also his friend too, got really weird in public about like what Martin came to him with.
Which really?
Unprofessional.
Oh, weird. That is weird.
Yeah.
All right. It's a messier thing than I even thought. Here's your next to last question. Who provided the voice of the character? I don't know how to say this. Sade 6?
Cade.
Sorry.
That's Nathan Fillion.
Oh, very nice. I mean, yes. You got that right.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
He aims to misbehave. Okay, here's your final question. What are the three new subclasses in The Taken King?
Stormcaller.
That is correct.
It's the only one I play. The Titan is the Hammer Dude, and the
absolutely correct. Hammer Dude is
the
not
Hunter.
Is,
yeah. The Hunter is Spider Bowl, bro.
Actually, hold on. I give you this. Both those are wrong.
No. Poetically, he's right. So we're going to give him 6/10 of a point.
Oh, man. You lucked out. It's actually Night Stalker Hunter, the Sunbreaker Titan, and you were right, Stormcaller Warlock.
Sunbreaker. Yes, I should have known that. They are completely overpowered in PvP.
That's what I keep hearing. So Patrick's done. That means he competed as he was asked to. Now Tom can score it up and tell us who did what.
Yeah, so actually Patrick gets 7/10 of a point on that last one. And finishes up with 3.85. Well done, but can't match Garrett with 6.75.
Oh, yay.
Man, Garrett, look at you with the Blink 182 master knowledge. And it just explains even more why you and your generation think that's a great band. Congratulations.
Close to like the band I would have preferred to be quizzed on, but yeah.
That's true. Who was the one that you told me Green Day was who you
Green Day is like my all-time favorite band, man. That would have been a quiz I would have felt a little more comfortable with.
They're
like,
my generation.
Yeah. I like Green Day too. They were a big deal for me in my early 20s.
We didn't have them, probably wouldn't have Blink doing their thing.
That's probably true. Or you wouldn't have a lot of people. How about everyone else? Like the Sum 41, those idiots, they wouldn't be anywhere without this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like fake popular punk is nothing without Blink 182.
Whoa. We were raised by the bastards of 1969. There's nothing fake about our punk.
Yeah, our punk was real. It was raw.
Yeah, but he's talking about
breakdown. Did you just drop
Californian punk
from
which
20th
is...
century breakdown? That's not a popular reference to drop there, Tom.
I don't care if it's popular. That's what makes it punk.
Yeah. See? He knows. Stick it to the man.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Sorry, Patrick. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I think it's time for forecast. My joke was terrible.
I want to to know what it was.
I do too.
And you never will.
Oh, no.
No.
Let the record show episode 68 is missing a joke.
He was going to say, when he looks at me, he thinks punk.
Of course he does.
That is maybe what I was going
to say. That's maybe what you're going to say. All right, forecast. It's people don't like it when I say this, but I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it. It used to be a show, now it's a segment. There, I said it. We try
wow,
to
predict you're so punk too.
Well, I know.
That's insane.
Pretty raw, dog. Pretty raw.
We're all punk. It's current punk.
We like to tell the future, and we like to try to do it together. We talk about technology and cool things that may happen or may not happen, sometimes crazy, sometimes not. Today's was submitted on the subreddit by KojiSan1225, who says, horrible topic
on
to
Twitter, actually.
Oh, he's on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah. I wrote that wrong. That's my mistake.
That's all right. You talk a lot about subreddits during the day. It's a completely understandable.
Oh, maybe he did do it on the subreddit, now that I think about it. Never mind.
Oh.
I'm correcting myself, and I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, aren't we all wrong once
wherever
in a while?
You gave it, Koji-san, we appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Plus, Garrett and Patrick get an extra point for Tom getting it wrong. Horrible topic for forecast, he says. With Disney acquisition of the Star Wars franchise, how long will it be until Star Wars on Ice comes to your town? Ooh. You know, this is a good question because I noticed that in my pantry there were SpaghettiOs, chicken
so
noodles.
So glad there was an R in that word. So glad.
Me too. In my pantry. Well, wait, how do you know I don't just call my pants my pantry?
I don't.
There's in my house right now, there's a can of SpaghettiOs, some kind of ravioli thing, some chicken noodle soup and something else. And they're all of the cans have Star Wars all over them. I don't even know what brand they were originally. Could be Campbell's, could be Chef Boyardee. I don't know. But Star Wars is on everything. If you go to a local mall here, every store has something to do with Star Wars going on in it. I can buy dishwashing liquid with a picture of C-3PO on the front of it. Like, it's insane this time around.
I look to Marvel, you know, and what they've done with that to kind of see what dark corners of is coming in the future for Star Wars. And yeah. I don't think we've had Marvel on Ice, so I don't think we should be worried.
Mm. So we never had Spider-Man on Ice or nothing? No?
No.
Well, we haven't had anything Spider-Man since the acquisition because of all that licensing stuff with Sony.
That's true, but we did have the Broadway show. But so if we keep it closer to the bone, there's never been like the Avengers on Ice or...
Absolutely nothing to do with Disney.
Although we should have the Avengers on Ice.
Right.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I kind of am with you there. Like, is it such a bad thing? What's wrong with that? Like, that's for kids. It wouldn't be for us anyway. And what would be the problem? Like, so
I think,
what?
You know, people have a reverence for Star Wars now that kind of clouds what the amount of marketing and the kind of marketing that was created for Star Wars when it first came out. You know, it was such horrible, horrible things that were put together. I'm not saying it should be done again, but I don't think we can match the level of horror that was created back when Star Wars first came out. Do you remember that holiday special where you have Chewie's family?
Oh, it was the best. It's the best
Life
thing
Day.
Ever made.
Yeah,
Life Day. They had to, it had to be really innocuous and non.
That's kind of the thing. And this is in line with a lot of the same stuff I was saying when the buyout originally happened. Everyone was like, oh no, Disney's buying Star Wars. It's doomed. And I just was sitting there. I'm just like, no one could do more damage to Star Wars than the creator of Star Wars already has.
Mm-hmm. Like,
there's been so much terrible Star Wars stuff. Like, go dig into the expanded universe that thank God is not canon anymore. There is some just heaping mounds of shit in there.
Well, listen, Thrawn was cool. That blue guy, he was trouble. I like that guy.
Go back and read that book. I don't think it holds up as well as everyone remembers.
Are you saying the Timothy Zahn stuff is no good now? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying it's not good. It's fine. I don't think that it's... I don't know. It's not that...
You're not enjoying the new book either, though.
No. Oh, well, I don't know. It's just so slow.
Expanded fiction for you. Not more.
I hate to make your day worse, Garrett. Mm-hmm. Captain Kipper just put a link into our chat room, and it's from March 2013. Hollywood Reporter: Disney has partnered with Feld Entertainment to launch a Spider-Man and the Avengers on Ice.
Shut up.
Spider-Man and the Avengers, the arena show from the creators of Disney on Ice. There's no mention of ice in here.
All right. Fair point.
Wait, what's it going to be then?
It says it's an arena show. so they won't necessarily be on ice.
What's arena shows? What's the difference?
Do you know the arena show that they're talking about?
No, I have no idea. I Googled this before it got posted in the chat room to make sure I wasn't completely talking at my butt. There hasn't been a Marvel on Ice. So there's been an arena show, but not an actual like cheesy for kids ice show. So
dodged a bullet there.
I don't know what it is, but I would assume it's, you know, it's some live show. And knowing Disney, I'm sure the production values are probably pretty badass.
It's going to be a it's 5-on-5 World of Warcraft arena. That's what it's going to be.
I would go watch that.
I actually would too. That'd be very interesting to me.
In this corner, we have Iron Man and Spider-Man versus Magneto. Exactly. And Ultra.
I think the greater point, though, that he's making here is that there is a... there's an obvious pervasiveness this time around. I mean, the first Star Wars, nobody knew what it was, so the marketing came after. But here we have a film where everyone's just assuming they're going to like BB-8. They really don't know yet, because we haven't seen anything but that thing rolling around and beeping a little bit and tiny little glimpses of him in the trailers, and that's it. So everybody went out and bought these Sphero things and have these things rolling around their house chasing their pets around because they think it is so cool. We don't know. That could be Jar Jar in a box, man. We don't know. Till it gets here. So we are buying in hook, line, and sinker, and they know that, and that's why everything has Star Wars on it, and I feel like it's unprecedented compared to previous marketing efforts by Disney. It's over the... including Star Wars before that. Over the top this time.
I remember during episode one eating Star Wars tacos at Taco Bell, so I don't think this is anything new.
Oh, dude, I remember during Star Wars, before it was called A New Hope... making sure we went to, I think it was Burger King to get the collectible glasses, and Burger Chef had the posters, and like, yeah, this is just Star Wars from day one. In fact, the Burger Chef commercial had C-3PO, R2-D2, Stormtroopers, and Darth Vader in it. They would never do that. They would never license that much these days.
I'm just guessing if you could quantify the total amount of marketing happening, that this would be bigger than those. I could be wrong. But I feel like they, not only isn't, not just because it's Star Wars, but because now we're really good at this. These corporations have honed this skill over a few decades and have created a blockbuster mentality that is like no other. And I think they could pull this off better than they ever have before. Therefore, there's probably more of it. I'll bet if you could quantify it. I don't know how you go about doing that, but there's got to be some numbers someplace that say, here's how many toys were released. Here's how many action figures were released. Here's how many, whatever, tie-ins with fast food. And then compare that to now. I'll bet we're killing it now.
Would you know how when looking at box office sales, you have to adjust for inflation?
Yeah.
Do you have to adjust for the type of mediums there are now that you can advertise in that didn't exist when Star Wars originally came out? Because the internet wasn't a thing. Mobile app and mobile advertising was not a thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
print, radio, and television, that was it.
Well,
I think that was actually degrading the quality of the things that were produced because people couldn't really check them easily. I mean, I want you to go to YouTube right now and search for Star Wars made in France.
Okay.
And you will see the worst possible version of anything related to Star Wars ever created.
I'm gonna click it.
Seriously, it is.
My God.
Événement cinématographique de l'année, ça a été Star Wars.
What is this? What's he saying?
He's saying this is the movie event of the year was Star Wars, and we have a real treat. We have the composer for this show, who's a French guy, who did a Star Wars choreography for us.
Okay, here I'm gonna see the robots. Oh my, that's a C-3PO suit.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, dude. All right. We got to spread this around like a disease. That is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. I've never heard of this. That's fantastic.
I'm losing.
Terrible. Wait until Darth Vader arrives.
Oh my gosh. You just made my year with this.
This is the
great.
Most French thing I've seen in a long time.
It's really great. All right. We're going to smear this all over the internet.
I would put the Donnie and Marie Star Wars finale right up there with it from September 1977.
Oh, that's a thing too, is it?
With Chris Christopherson as Han Solo.
Oh my gosh. Really?
It is pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah. Patrick, your Star Wars in France may still win just on pure amazing.
The thing is, in yours, they have the costumes. In, you know, C-3PO has kind of a robot suit. In mine, it's basically golden pajamas and a helmet.
Yeah, it's like they took C-3PO. The robot from Metropolis and then spray painted
basically,
it gold.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
Wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's really cool. But see, this is a case in point. We sucked at it back then. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't understand its place in history. It was just this smattering of crap. And now we've kind of honed it. It's like a fine laser now. Like Lego alone probably does more business than all of that stuff did back in 1978.
So, I have good news for Garrett.
All right.
Marvel Universe Live, the arena show, is coming to the Jacksonville Veterans Memorial Arena for 7 dates, yes, starting April 28th.
Oh, I'm going to see this. Out of spite, I'm going to go see this.
You have to see it, dude. That sounds terrible. Oh, my gosh. Please report back. We'll have you back on the show for that.
I don't know. I mean, like my point kind of stands. It's like Star Wars has already been raked over the coals. Any intellectual property, anything from pop culture that you love more than anything in the world, yeah, has its just terrible dark places. You know, the first episode of the Doctor Who relaunch is terrible, and it didn't kill Doctor Who. Scrappy-Doo didn't kill Scooby-Doo. Star Wars is going to be fine.
Well, I think it's fantastic that we are all on the same page when it comes to that. All right. Well, there's your forecast, and always fun. Thank you for that. We got a quick email here from a listener who sent it to currentgeek@gmail.com. It's from Alan, who says, "Dear people of geek, they are making a new Bob the Builder on YouTube. What the hell?" says Alan. I mean, we're a little out of the generational age for when Bob the Builder was relevant. My son,
little brother was so into that.
Yeah, my son Nick, who's now 15, was really into it. I have old video of him just talking nothing but glowingly about Bob the Builder. And I went and looked at this trailer, and they have moderned it up, it's no longer stop motion. It's like CGI, and the Bob character looks like he's about 16, has a little attitude. I'm not going to just poo-poo on it by that alone, but watching this with my kid when he was little, it was a nice, sweet little, cool thing about how to build things. And this seems a little more edgy. So good luck, kids. It's on the YouTube.
Hey, Alan, they've done it to all of our childhoods.
Yeah, may as well be yours. I'm assuming Alan is young, or he's just an older aficionado of Bob the Builder.
That's true.
It's totally fine. If you'd like to send your own emails, please do. currentgeek@gmail.com. It's going to round it up for today. You guys were great. Always great. That's why I like having you two on. You're just chuckleheads, and we just love having you on here. Patrick,
that's a good thing, Patrick, if you don't know.
So, because he's about ready to fall asleep. Patrick, why don't you tell us where people can find Patrick Beja on the internet?
Not Patrick on Twitter, not Patrick on Facebook, and the website is frenchspin.com. Mm. You'll find the show Pixels there, where we talk about video games, and Tom Merritt was on the show on the last episode, so go listen.
Yeah, and you can also catch Patrick on DTNS on Tuesdays with Tom. You can also find him on the Instance podcast with myself, Terpster and Dills, almost every week. And that's it. Patrick, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Garrett.
Thank you.
Lay it out for us. Where can Garrett be found, except for in a wedding in a very near future?
Yeah, you can find me there. You can find me on Twitter, @GarrettArt. Check out amu.tv for all of my podcasts. That's really about it. Go check out the most recent episode of Into the Nexus. Since everyone has a hero show now, check out mine.
Yeah, do that. I hear it's popular. People are getting into that that scene. So
I liked your idea at the end of Angry Chicken of saying you should just add Scott to the show so you can have more people promoting heroes shows at the end of the Angry Chicken.
Yeah.
Well, listen, is there a better Hearthstone show on the internet? No.
No.
Is there a better hero show? I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's always good to have you here. As always, don't forget. Tom Merritt. Anything else? We got anything else? You got anything?
Hey, yeah. We had Patrick Beja on Daily Tech News Show today. He's usually on Tuesdays, but we had him on Friday because we had Eric Olander on to talk about tech in Africa. Eric covers Africa, runs a Facebook page and a podcast about tech in Africa. Well, it's actually about China in Africa, but also covers a lot of the tech scene there. So really interesting stuff. It'll change your perceptions about what is a giant continent full of very tech-savvy people in many cases. So check it out, dailytechnewsshow.com.
That sounds awesome. Please do check that out. Andrew Allen did our music. Big thanks to him. Go to Alpha Geek Radio for the audio stream of this show and repeats. It plays all the time. You can find us wherever podcasts are found. Call us, leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. If you're up to it, check us out on Twitter, @CurrentGeek, @ScottJohnson, @AceDetect, currentgeek.reddit.com, currentgeek@gmail.com is our email address. We love those. And for everything else, go to currentgeek.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we review an interesting decision from a federal court in Pennsylvania about personal smartphone passwords and whether they are protected under the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provides a number of rights, including the right of a defendant to not be compelled in a criminal case to self-incriminate oneself. Some of the interesting exceptions and limits to this rule were invoked this week in a case involving the Securities and Exchange Commission and two defendants being prosecuted for possible insider trading. Two former employees of Capital One are being investigated by the SEC for allegedly making over $2.8 million trading on advanced company earnings information gained as a part of their former jobs as data analysts. What led to the ruling this week was the fact that Capital One issues company-owned smartphones for employees, and the SEC wants to access the information on the former employees' phones to scour for incriminating evidence to prove the insider trading occurred. But Capital One has employees pick their own private passwords for the phones, and it is company policy to not have employees give this password to the company for security reasons. So even though these employees returned the phones to Capital One when they were fired a few months ago, Capital One cannot access the information stored on these smartphones. The SEC argued under a rule called the Collective Entity Doctrine that these were corporate records possessed by former employees, which are generally not protected by the Fifth Amendment. But the court ruled that the confidential passwords chosen and maintained by the former employees could not be deemed corporate records because only the former employees know that information. The SEC also tried to argue a different exception to the Fifth Amendment applied, the so-called foregone conclusion doctrine. That doctrine causes information to not be shielded by the Fifth Amendment protection when the government already knows of the information's existence and location. However, the court disagreed with this argument as well, because the SEC is really on a fishing expedition, and the government agency doesn't know absolutely for certain that incriminating information is on those phones. So the company and the government both do not have any rights to access data protected by personal passwords kept secret by the former employees and current defendants. The bottom line is, despite the Fifth Amendment winning the day with these facts, one would be wise to limit all types of personal information you put on company property. Whether it's a computer or smartphone, it can only lead to tough situations if a firing ever occurs.
Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions or segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.